Okay, let's go on with the explication. 我们继续讲, the English part. The world venerated one. Because the Buddha is endowed with such virtues and wisdom that he deserves to be venerated by all people, all multi-beings. Therefore, he got this epithet, the holy epithet, 圣号. Prior to meal time meaning noontime, 12 o'clock sharp. This is the time for the meal. And everybody of the Buddhist monks need to take the meal by 12 o'clock. It is the rightful meal time. And after that time, it will be the incorrect time for meal taking. So the meaning of meal time has this significance. Donning his cassock. Cassock meaning the priest habiliment. 法衣, habiliment means clothes or dress. There are three kinds of dharmic habiliments. It is called, actually in the Chinese tradition, there are four kinds. The five-striped cassock, 五条衣, seven-striped cassock, 七条衣, and nine-striped cassock, and 25-striped cassock. By stripes, it means that when a bhikshu has got a piece of cloth, and he make it into his habiliment, but to be a lawful habiliment, he needs to cut it and lawfully, according to the Buddha's law. So for the five stripe, that's for novices or shramana. I mean, shramanera, sami, shramanena, shramanera. Sami is 五条衣, and this is also a work clothes. And seven stripe is the usual habiliment or usual cassock that you see. And in this habiliment, it needs to be cut into seven stripes and then sew them together. Okay. And these are all like brown color. And the nine stripe is yellow color. And the 25 striped is this one. 25条衣就是又称为红主衣, it's in red. And why would the cloth be cut into stripes? Because in Buddhism, if you want to be a monk, you don't want to wear your clothes for beauty's sake. You know, you want to get away from the worldly beauty. 就是你出家当僧人啊，你穿衣服不能求好看，所以呢就故意把一整条布这个割成这个五条七条九条，这场合不一样。 The five stripe is for work, the seventh stripe is for worshipping, 礼佛的时候，或是 or chanting, 啊，这个诵经的时候。 The ninth stripe, the yellow one, is to get into a great meeting, 大法会的时候穿黄色的，所以我通常就穿黄色，那就是大法会的时候穿黄色的。吃饭的时候，哦，礼佛的时候就穿 brown 的。And the 25th is for a majestic meeting, like preaching the Dharma, like what I'm doing. So at this occasion, I need to put on this cassock. So this is called patriarchate.Habiliment, 主衣啊。So there is a tradition for that. So, 割截那个衣啊，就是为了不求形好，不是为了穿好看的。And besides cutting the cloth, you need to also dye it in some color.There are five main colors. The ordinary right colors: green, yellow, red, white, and black. Apart from the black color, Buddhists or Buddhist monks are not allowed to use the right yellow.For instance, this robe is in yellow, but it is not the right yellow. It is a little brown, right? Can you see? 所以这个黄色不是正黄，所以不能穿正的青黄赤白啊，必须要有一点点染，所以出家称为染衣啊，所以出家称为染衣，不要拿，或称为支流。支的意思啊，支的意思就是黑的意思或是染的意思，所以不是正色啊。So, the Buddhist monks are not supposed to dress in the right green, yellow, red, and white colors because they are more adorned, more beautiful, you know.So it need to be a little dyed or tainted, you know, so that your clothes would not look so fresh, you know, so appealing. So this yellow is a little dull, right? Because it is tainted with brown. Okay.And so it is the same with the brown habiliment, the seven stripe, the 七衣啊, it is not authentic brown. It is like coffee color, right? Brown with a little bit dark or black in there.So that it won't look so fresh, so shiny, you know. So that's the intention of the Buddha. So that we don't want to be shiny in the clothes, but we need to shine in wisdom. Okay, so that's the meaning of Buddhism. So you don't like to shine outward. No, you need to shine inward. And to shine from inward towards others and even towards the universe, towards the Dharmic sphere, 所以我们学佛不是要穿衣服很鲜很光鲜，而是要你让你内心很光鲜，充满光芒，乃至于你这个光芒从里面充满了，乃至于可以泛到外面来，然后可以遍照一切法界，对不对？然后最后你就到遍照寺来。OK, so prior to meal time, donning his cassock and holding his arms bow, 就是he put on his cassock, his dharmic habiliment, and held his arms bow, arms bow, bow in Sanskrit, it is called Patra. Patra, 波多罗 in Sanskrit. What does Patra look? It looks like this. This is my Patra. When I got the ordainment, 这是我受戒的时候的钵。It's been 24 years. And it's got a fracture here.Because one of my disciples, when she was washing it, and she wanted to make it dry, so he dumps it like this, and occasionally touched the sink, and it's got a fracture. So she broke my bowl. 她打破我的饭碗。她这个洗的时候怎么要把它甩干啊，让它一直在咻咻咻就咻了一条线。So, and usually there is a bag coming with it. So this is put in the bag. And also a wood spoon. Okay, 一个木条羹。So if you want to eat from the arms bowl,You don't use chopsticks, you use spoon. And it is preferably with the wood spoon. Why? Because it won't be so noisy. You know, if you are a monk, and when you are eating, you are always making... that does not sound good, right? So you eat silently, you know.And also, I want to show you how to take the bowl. 要怎么样拿钵或是拿碗哈 ？When you take a bowl, you are eating. You don't take like this. You don't take like this and eat. Why not? Because it is what a beggar does. So, what is the right way?It should be like this. Okay. Put your thumb on the top and the four others at the bottom. 所以你拿钵或拿碗的时候要这样子。这样吃才对。你在家里也是一样。你若拿碗这样吃那是一个乞丐。乞丐是这样子的。那所以应该要这样子。而且吃饭的时候一定要拿起来这样吃，坐正正的，不能，我说一下哈，不能放在这边，然后就埋头苦干。OK，and 而且不可以吃饭这样子。When you eat, don't put your elbows on the table and eat like this. And French fries, good, hamburger.Okay, so table manners, 不管是在家出家都是一样，要正坐，而且这样消化比较好。It's good for digestion and look too, you know. So, and when you eat, a lot of people don't know this. I want to mention this to you. When you eat, and when you chew or munch.Don't open your lips. You put the food in and then close your lips and chew away. Okay, don't chew like this. It's like a pig. Okay. And sometimes I also saw people put a lot of food in their mouth, and the food goes to the side, and he looks like a monkey. 所以你放很多食物在里面吃啊，这个叫我们台湾话叫搞龟啊，哎，这样不好看。那如果是出家人，很不庄严，对，很没有威仪。 So it's not good looking for priests. Okay. So arms bow and entered into the city of Shravasti for mendicancy. Mendicancy is to beg the food for alms. 就是乞食啊。In the Catholicism, there is the Jesuits, 耶稣派。 The Jesuits, 这是天主教的一个教派啊, 他们也有那种就是持贫戒, 就是说, 贫穷啊, 不保留财物啊。 So, for the Jesuits, priests, they also keep the poverty vow. They don't own, you know, possessions. So, but it is only part of Christianity, only this sect, and also a very strict sect. But in Buddhism, a lot of people need to keep the poverty vow. Even if in Mahayana, we don't actually go to the street to beg for alms, but we also keep the poverty vow. You know why? Because as monk or nuns, we don't have salaries like the missionaries or, you know, 牧师啊, they have salaries and they have vacations too, but we don't, you know. We don't have salaries. We have only allowances. Right now, I have 60 bucks for 1 month, which is called 单银. So, 我每个月只有六十块钱, 八十块. 我是80块的那个单银, 就是零用金啊。 所以没有薪水的, 你知道吧? No salaries, no vacation, and no retirement. And so, and no holidays, and only holy days. Holy days means the holidays for the Buddha and for the Pusas. On which days we work all the harder for the holy persons. 所以我们有 holy days, 没有 holiday. The holy days 就圣日啊, 圣日就庆祝佛菩萨圣诞啊, 所以那时候我们就这个工作的更辛苦了, 对不对? 而且没有加班费, So, and so, we are 7-Eleven priests. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. 啊, so mendicancy is keeping poverty. So you are not supposed to have riches or wealth. But you know, time is changing. a lot of monks or nuns are very wealthy now, and their wealth may be equal to a bank, right? Yeah. Or several banks, and doing international business. Okay. Okay. Let's go back to the Chinese part.
24尊时时早衣持钵，早衣持钵。
你看那个衣钵，你把它圈起来。我们中文不是有衣钵传人吗？什么叫衣钵传人？知道吗？衣就是什么？就是你出家以后，你穿衣服就要跟佛一样，就是很简单，是不是？所以哈、哦，我们这一套衣服哦，是永不过时的，你知道吗？永远是最摩登的，你知道吗？哎，所以我们就没有烦恼说，哎，换季啦，或是跟不上时代啊，然后稍微旧一点呢、啊，就换掉了。你们就有这个问题，对不对？你们就稍微旧一点穿出去怕人家笑，对不对？哎，然后自己穿的也不舒服，是不是？啊、哦，那光是鞋子是几百双，对不对？啊、哦，哎，那我们就是两双，哎，大概，哎 ，OK。那所以衣就是衣跟钵就是生活方式，所以你出家以后，所以人都要吃饭穿衣嘛，对不对？那你学佛的第一步就是学着穿着佛衣持佛钵啊，跟着佛一样的生活，简单朴素，卫生健康。不过这太卫生太健康，你恐怕会生病，你会受不了。那所以衣钵传人的意思是什么？这个衣哈、哦、代表法 ，the habiliment, the dharmic habiliment, apart from being a dress, it also stands for the dharma. Because all when the Buddha transmits a Dharma, and it comes with a habiliment. 所以你得法就得衣、啊、所以那这个衣呢就代表你的身份、啊、所以着衣，衣就是也是法，然后钵呢就吃饭的方式、啊、所以那衣钵传人就是这个继承佛的生活的方式。所以 What is Buddhism? Buddhism is a way of living. And so it is represented by the cassock and the patra and the bowl. They stand for the contents, the way of living. So what does it mean? It means getting away from vanity and getting away from greed for dress and food. 所以衣钵代表什么？代表不贪衣服饮食啊，所以就是离贪。所以你出家就第一个就是要离贪，而且离什么呢？还离世间的这个华服，这样的。往下看，入社会大乘，起食。啊，那为什么要起食啊？起食有几个意思。第一个，离世间作业；第二个呢，不与俗争；第三个，折服我慢。第四个，修行忍辱。还有第五个就是修行等持啊，因为你起食啊，所以就离世间作业，也就是说你出家以后你就不再从事世间的这个行业了啊、哦、那这个就是真正的离世间出世间嘛，对不对啊、哦、第二个呢，不与俗争， 你如果在做世间的事业的话，那就跟世俗人争利嘛，对不对？啊，所以不与俗争。那第三个呢，就折服我慢，因为你去乞食，这个传统上来讲，俗人认为跟人家乞讨是最丢脸的事，对不对？所以你要摆得下那个脸，对不对？所以折服我慢。所以为什么要折服我慢？因为要修行无我。啊，修行无我，为什么要修行无我？因为无我了以后，那么就能够成就真正的平等智慧。啊，然后接着呢，修习忍辱。这个，因为你去乞讨，有时候人家会对你很不客气啊，啊，乃至于说一些不好听的话，那时候你就修忍辱。啊，然后第五个呢，修行等慈。修行等慈，平等慈悲，啊，因为你去乞讨的时候，这个，等一下会讲啊，来拿过来，拿上来。Why should a monk, go for mendicancy or begging for the alms, for these purposes? First of all, they need to get away from, all the workings.Or karmas of the world. Because they want to purify themselves from the worldly karma. Secondly, they don't want to compete with worldly people anymore. Okay. You know something? In the worldly world, the hardest part for a worldly person is.Competition. Right from the birth, everybody has to do competition, has to compete with others. Right from kindergarten and to the elementary school, high school, college, and then in the companies. All through your life, you are tied with competition and you cannot ever.Get away from it. If you want to get away from it, then you are out, right? So only a monk can do away with competition with any people. So competition is the source of annoyances, the source of vexation.And source of anxiety and pressure and suffering, right? So, in the worldly world, they say the competition is the source of advancement. Yes, but it's got price to pay. 所以世间人说竞争是进步之源，对不对？没错，可是代价很高。那里面有这个压力、冲突、焦虑、痛苦，都是竞争来的。但是只有出家不需要竞争，看看，对，所以出家以后，这个就在这方面就很自在了。所以唯有出家，而且我告诉你。这世间上啊，也只有佛法的出家人可以这样子。你即使在其他的宗教出家也不行。比如说你当修女、当神父，你个修女跟神父也都有政治的，也都有经济的，对不对？那如果你是当这个新教的那个牧师呢，那更麻烦了，对不对？因为你还要去跟那个信徒去 social 啊，然后等等啊。哦，还主持婚礼啊，对不对？啊，这个的葬礼是没有办法的，可是我们至少可以不用主持婚礼嘛，是不是？那为什么不主持婚礼？因为婚姻是生死的根源嘛，所以我们不希望你们还堕入生死，所以我们不主持婚礼。所以所谓的佛教婚姻在佛教婚礼啊。 That's against the law of the Buddha, and that is ridiculous. 听懂吗？ 这佛教婚礼是跟佛的道理是违背的， 是现代的新产品， 可以增加信徒， 也是跟外道学习。 所以， why does a monk need to beg for the alms? Because he need to be estranged or to be detached from the worldly enterprises, worldly businesses. And he would, secondly, he would not compete with anybody. So because the competition is the source of all worries, of all sufferings, all vexations. So, as a Buddhist practitioner, we don't need that. We can get away from it. Okay. And it is our privilege, and only the Buddhist privilege too, you know. In other religions, in Catholicism, you still have politics, you still have money management and everything, and all kinds of careers, enterprises, right? But in Buddhism, we don't have that. We don't need that, because our purpose is different. That's why we are super. Okay. Super and superior. And the Buddha is supreme. And then, why does a monk need to beg? Because he need to subjugate his arrogance, his ego arrogance, to subdue his arrogance. You know, what is ego? 什么是我? 什么是自我? The last stage of egotism is self-arrogance. 我慢的最后一个阶段, 我自我的最后一个阶段啊, 也就是癌症的末期啊, 我的癌症的末期就是我慢。 一个人到了我慢的时候, 那已经是我的癌症末期, 你知道吗? 因为我有我见, 我执, 我爱, 最后是我慢, 所以我慢已经癌症末期, 第四期了, 快翘掉了, 但是众生都是这一期, 这个择日可待, 他死掉了是择日可待了。 And the purpose of begging for the alms is to practice forbearance, because you need to forbear a lot of insults or disparagements when you go begging. Okay. So, and even if in Mahayana Buddhists we don't go for alms begging, but we receive all kinds of donations, that's kind of begging, you know. Any questions so far? Yes? Okay. Example. Example is an egg. And me is an egg or ego. What is wisdom? And or what is wisdom in connection with ego? Because we are egoistic, so we don't have wisdom. Why? Because we are egoistic, so we are limited. So what is our limitation? Our limitation, because we are an egg, and an egg has a crust. 我们是个蛋，那个蛋呢有蛋壳，对不对？ So we are circumscribed by the crust. So we can Of course, this crust defends us. So it defends us. So it's our system of defense. 这个蛋壳是我们的防卫系统。But at the same time, it's become a jail. So we are incarcerated in this jail. So me is incarcerated. 我被监禁了，监禁在这个蛋壳里面。这个蛋壳呢，是防卫我们，是一个我自我防卫系统。But at the same time, it keeps us from going out. 它就同时呢，这个蛋壳呢，就令我们不能够出去。这个自我防卫系统令我们不能出去。Therefore, we are limited. Therefore, our information or our wisdom is limited within this circumference. Okay. So, the Buddha's wisdom, meaning he's got a way or lots of ways or myriad ways to break through the shell of the egg. So, when the shell is broken, then it means you are liberated from your own self-defense system. And so you become egoless. 所以佛的方法是什么？就是把我们这一个蛋壳，这个什么蛋壳呢？我把它称为无明之壳。这无明之壳把它打破了以后呢，我们就解放了，就解脱了。解脱了以后， if we can break through this eggshell, this shell, I call it the shell of inanity, 无明之壳。So if you can break through the shell of inanity or ignorance, then you are liberated. So your this me in the deepest side of this me is the innate nature or innate essence, 本性, or called Buddha nature. Everybody has this Buddha nature deep inside their mind. But because we circumscribe our Buddha nature with a shell, with a concrete shell, you know, 钢筋铁骨的这个 shell. So you need to break through this, 无明之壳. If these are broken, then your Buddha nature will reveal. And your limitation is taken away. And you become unlimited in your sight and in your insight and in your foresight. So, if the shell of your limitation is taken away, you are liberated, then you are free. And then your Buddha nature is revealed. Your Buddha nature will come to the fore, 现前。And when your Buddha nature comes to the fore, 现前，佛性现前， your Buddha nature comes to the fore, then your sight, your insight, and your foresight will be unlimited. That's the gist of Buddhism. Okay.So, this egg is very important because it's got the germ of everything, right? It's the source of life, right? And the Buddha has a lot of ways to break through and to erode 腐蚀。他佛的法可以把它打破这无明之壳，也可以把溶石溶掉啊，无明之壳，把 by a lot of means. And the greatest way to erode or to take away this shell is Prajnaparamita. And Prajnaparamita is like what? Like laser. Okay. So it's very effective. It just goes, and it's okay. And you are okay. And right at that moment, if you do the laser gun, use the laser gun on your shell, then you will see your Buddha nature. And then at that time we say, in the esotericism, we call it 即身成佛. That you attain Buddhahood right at this corporal body. Or you witness your own Buddha nature and become a Buddha instantly. You know. So this is the way and the most terse way, succinct way of Buddhism, or succinct interpretation of Buddhism or Mahayana Buddhism. So your question is simple, but simple to put it, but the answer does not come easy, right? Because I need to know so much as to be able to satisfy you. Okay? Any more question? So, every good question will get a good answer. But even a dumb question can get a good answer too. So don't worry. If you don't ask, then you are dumb. Any dumb question will make you wise. Any more? Okay, if there are no more questions, then we proceed with our sutra, okay? What does cassock and alms bowl mean? It means a way of living, the Buddhist way of living, the most simple way of living, which gets you away from the worldly competition, worldly worries, worldly frustrations, right? So, and in this kind of life, you don't have anxiety anymore, no pressure. So it's just peace and bliss. Enter into the city of Shravasti for mendicancy. After having done it in accordance with the sequential mendicating rule in the town, he returned to his domicile. Having taken the repast, put away the cassock and bowl, and laved his own feet, the Buddha then arranged the meditation mat and sat in meditation. This is a great paragraph, I tell you. But it is so simple, but it is the most significant point in Buddhism, because that's the way the Buddha lives. You know? Okay, let me tell you. After having done it in accordance with the sequential mendicating rule, because he begged for the alms according to the rule and sequentially, because he does not jump from house to house. He needs to follow the road, and he can beg for alms for only 7 times or 7 houses. Okay. And he cannot choose either the poor or the rich, you know. So 这个如来这个启示的时候，所有一切起比丘起始的时候都不能选择贫富，而且依次而起，而且只能起七家。如果乞讨了七家而都不够或是没有人供养的话，那他就那天就不能吃，就不吃了。So after seven houses, if he has not got enough or has not got anything at all, then he will go hungry that day. That's the rule. So there are only seven chances for him. And why? Because there is a time limit. Plus that you cannot beg all day, right? So if you are a persistent person and you decide that you want to get so much and you can beg all day, that's not right. Because there's a time limit for you to take the food. Okay, so time is pressing and rushing. So he returned to his domicile. Domicile means abode or where he lives. 他就回到他的本处啊。Having taken the repast meaning food, 吃完饭以后，这个 repast 就是饭了啊，饮食啊。He put away the cassock and bowl, 他就收衣钵啊，然后 laved his own feet, 就洗脚。这个洗脚水怎么来的？他自己端的。因为那时候阿难还没有当侍者，佛要到很老的时候才允许有侍者，他一直都自己 take care of himself, like what I'm doing now. The Buddha then arranged the meditation mat for himself and sat in meditation. So,What does this paragraph mean? It means that the Buddha does everything for himself. And this is the superficial meaning. 表面上的意思是这样子。And the deeper meaning is because this paragraph is placed at the beginning of this supreme sutra, the sutra of supreme wisdom. So it refers to something much deeper.所以这一段呢，这么平时的叙述呢，如来的平常的生活，对不对？饮食起居啊，是不是打坐啊？是，如果是平常就没什么了。但是这个是放在这个举世最高的一个般若法门《金刚经》的一开头，这表示什么呢？不只是说流水账，不是如来生活的流水账，而是告诉我们佛的平时的生活。那平时的生活是什么？ It also indicates that the source of prajna or Buddha's wisdom comes from the plain living of everyday. Comes from the realization or practice of everyday. So you need to do it. Prajna is doing, is notJust talking. Okay, 所以波诺是做的，是在日常生活中看起来平时无奇的这样子在做啊。但是这就是把波诺大智付之实行，知道吧？那如来以身作则来告诉我们他怎么样实行波诺。实行波诺就在平淡无奇的生活中把它付之实现。为什么？我告诉你，佛是很尊贵的，对不对？那他要有十个八个侍者是没问题的，他为什么还要去乞食呢？他走路去乞食啊，然后拿着钵去乞食，然后回来，因为那个时候也没有柏油路啊，所以回来还要洗脚啊，吃饭啊，然后还自己铺法座啊，这就是什么？ 这个就是去除我慢，懂吗？他不要人服侍，他去除我慢，然后这个身体力行。所以波诺在平时的生活之中， Prajna, the great wisdom of Prajna is exhibited by the Buddha in the plain livelihood of every day. In the plain dressing, eating, alms begging, and meditation. So what is Buddhism? It's terrific, but it's plain. It looks plain. It's so deep that you cannot see with your naked eye. 波诺看起来平时无华，平时无华。Prajna, it looks plain and unornate, undecorated, but it's deep, it's profound. It's like what? It's like a poem of a great poet. Most great poetry is plain on the wording, on the sentence structure, but it needs a lot of technique and a lot of practice to put those simple words, simple dictions together to form a great poem and to form great spirit and great feeling in the poetry. So, 你看，所有的伟大的诗啊，那个字都是很简单，而且就是很平实无华，像什么？像杜甫的诗一样，啊，那个用字都很简单，但是它的意思很深沉，对不对？而且它没有雕琢的这个样子。So, all great poetry, like great teaching of Buddha, is the same. They are the same. They are unornate, undecorated in any superficial way. They are plain in looking, but they are just profound. And that's why they can be helpful and they can be practiced by ordinary people like us. So we've got a great chance to be like the Buddha, as the Buddha expects us to. Isn't that great? Say yes. Louder.
Yes.
Good. So let's put a full stop here for today. And 回向。愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧真明了，不愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道。 Okay, if you feel good about this, and tell your friends and people to come here and listen to me, and we will talk together and have a good time here. Okay? And see you next time. Thank you very much for coming.